In presenting this sugya of Mefarish V'Yotzi V'Shayara at the end of yesterday's shiur, which I want to review, when we just began to introduce this sugya, Om Rav Yehuda Merav HaMefarish V'Yotzi V'Shayara, and Rav Yehuda Merav sets up the Shloshim Yom, and he says within the Shloshim Yom Kodim Lechag, then you're chayev in Bir, even though you're not going to be there during the Chag. The Rava says it's Ein Daito Lachso. And this is a very problematic concept here, because how is it that he's Chayv and Bedika within that 30 days? Rashi quotes the Halach of Sholin, Bilchas HaPesach, Kodim HaPesach Shloshim Yom, and Rashi adds, Me'oz Chalol of Lizoyer B'Tzorche HaPesach. So we have this 30 day period of time. And the question is the Chiyuv Bedika Chal 30 days before Pesach? Meaning, there are two ways of learning this sugya.
Does anyone go Chulin
in there? Yes, I'm in the middle of Shia, if you don't want to. Sorry. So the two ways of learning this halach of Shloshim Yom. One way is to say the following, that the Rabbanan set up a Chiyuv Bedika 30 days before the Chag. The other way of saying is that no, the Chiyuv Bedika emerges on Yudalid on Erev Pesach. What the Rabbanan are doing now is they're saying if you cannot be, you cannot. Oof, I always forget what page it's in. It doesn't matter. Yeah, you'll tell me later. So if the if you cannot fulfill your Chiyuv in its time, because you won't be available to implement the Bedika, then we're going to give you a Chiyuv in advance. That it's almost as if you are being Mekayim, the Chiyuv of Erev Pesach, 30 days before Erev Pesach. So again, let's just go over this again. We want to offer two definitions of this din of Shloshim Yom. Is it A, that there is no Chiyuv Bedika now, I'm just anticipating a Chiyuv Bedika that's going to come 30 days down the line, I won't be able to fulfill that Chiyuv Bedika, so the Rabbanan gave me the opportunity of fulfilling that mitzvah 30 days in advance? Or no, the Rabbanan is saying that right now I'm Chayev in Bedika. For example, one of the issues that we're going to talk about is whether or not you make a bracha on the Bedika Shloshim Yom Kodem Lechag. That too might be related to our discussion. Another issue that could come up is how do I destroy my chametz 30 days before the Chag? Rabbi Yehuda, as you know, is of the opinion that ain't be your chametz ella sreifa. Does that halacha apply in Shloshim Yom? Well, if I'm fulfilling my chiyuv of tomorrow, meaning of Yudalid now today, 30 days before, then that's the mitzvah of Tashbisu. And if Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein bir chametz el Tashbisu, that's what I have to do. If, on the other hand, it's just the way that the Chachamim have set it up so that I make sure that there is a bedika done, because I know I won't be able to do the bedika in its time, but I'm not really doing that original bedika that was formulated and obligated by the Torah, then maybe I would not require Sreifa. Meaning, you don't want to leave your chametz around. The Rabbanan don't want to see your chametz around. And that applies even in the case of Yotze B'Shayora, even if it's Ein Dai Tolach, so they don't want your chametz around. So what they said was that since you won't be there on Erev Pesach, and you won't be able to be Mekayim the mitzvah as it was formulated, then this is the sort of fallback position. Get rid of your chametz now, right before you check out of the house. And you won't even have a problem or a chiyuv of bedikas chametz on your dalet. Or no, whether Rabbanan is saying this is your chiyuv on your dalet, and they're being makdim your ability to fulfill that chiyuv of your dalet today.
And then you do the sreifa or the biur.
Correct. If it's later. Just a matter of getting rid of your chametz, we can't tolerate your leaving your chametz behind. And then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree in this case, this is not the real mitzvah tashbisu. It's only a method of guaranteeing that you won't have chametz. Get rid of it in any way, any method that you can. But if on the other hand, what we're doing is we're being mocked in that chiyuv, and we're saying that already now you're chayav as if it were your dalid, and now, in a sense, vicariously, you're fulfilling that chiyuv of your dalid 30 days before the Chag, then all the restrictions and all the requirements of Bir Chametz would apply even 30 days before the Chag.
Would the Chiyuv be on the Gavra or on the Mokum?
Excellent. Okay, so we're going to get into that, and that's going to be very important. But before we get into that, Rav Soloveitchik here on page Lamed Ches, which we gave out yesterday, has a Rashi on Daf Chav Zayin. And Rashi says that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Yotze B'Shayor, he's got to burn his chametz, and no other method will suffice. In other words, Rashi applies the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, Ein B'Yer Chametz El Sreifa, even Shloshim Yom Kodem Lechad. It sounds like he's being Mechayim, according to Rashi, the Chiv of Yedalid, 30 days before Lechad, which is an amazing opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah before it's time. You know, very often we have what's called tashlumin, but tashlumin is always after the time. This is a tashlumin, so to speak, where you actually can replace the mitzvah, but in advance, you know, before the time period comes out. So if you look, for example, at a paragraph called V'yu'uyan on page Lamed Ches, then you just want to underline, I think, one line which captures the whole premise of and the conclusion of this paragraph, and that is the sixth or seventh line. He says, "Achiv biyotzei she'aru l'kayim es achiv shel yom yudal." That on this day, which is 30 days before the Chag, you are fulfilling that chiv of yom yudal. Otherwise, why is Rashi requiring Sreifa? The requirement to Sreifa is a day giveaway here. You must be involved, according to Rashi, in the mitzvah of Tashbisu, which Rabbi Yehuda identifies as Sreifa. And therefore, we have to ask the following question. He says, if you are being Mekayim the mitzvah in advance, then can you make a bracha on that? The Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Tov Lamed Vav. Let's open up the Shulchan Aruch again. We don't have that many copies here, but if you happen to be a lucky guy and you have the copies, there's an entire siman in Shulchan Aruch dedicated to this Yotzei V'Shayara. And in my copy of the Mishnah Berurah, it's on page 14, if that helps anybody. So the Ramah in Sif Aleph adds the following comment: "V'lo yivarech oz al bir chametz." The Ramah seems to assume that within the context of Shloshim Yom, for the case of a Yotze B'Shayor, there's no bracha. And Rav Soloveitchik points out here, the way he's being presented in the Hari Kedem, that the Ritva holds that Sarach Levarech Tov Shloshim Yom. So we now have Machlokes. Again, keep in mind the Ritva is a lot earlier than the Ramah, but he quotes the Kolbo, who brings different Rishonim on this issue. So we have now an interesting Machlokes. Is there a bracha on Bedikas Chametz Shloshim Yom? If we're going to say that the Chiyuv of Bedik of tomorrow, meaning of Leil Yudalit, is Chayuv now, then he has to make a bracha. So we take, for example, the Rashi on Chav Zayin that says you need Sreifa, even though it's 30 days before the Chag. We're anticipating that Chiyuv now, and we're implementing tomorrow's Chiyuv today, then the restrictions apply. Not only the restrictions that you need Sreifa, and only Sreifa if you're like Rabbi Yehuda, but also the mitzvah of bracha. The bracha also applies. Ach'i Neima, if we'll take the other approach, that the Chiyuv Bedika remains on Yudalid, and this mitzvah of Bedika on Shloshim Yom is not really a mitzvah, it's just a way of getting rid of your chametz. Let's say, for example, we're afraid maybe you'll show up on Pesach, even though that's not your intention. Right, you'll find out that you don't like the kashrus in the hotel you're at, so you check out and you go check into get back to your house because you know the day you can trust it. So you don't want to be stuck with chametz there. So the rabbanan said, get rid of your chametz. No, if that's a different bedika, that's not a bedika that's anticipating your chiyuv of leil yudalid, then you don't make a bracha. Hence, the Ramah says, ein levarach al bir chametz. But you can go even beyond this. And here we're getting close to Lenny to what you were saying before. He says the following, that when you get to a point of Shloshim Yom, and you're leaving your house, you have no intention of returning to your house, it's possible that what we're saying now is that the chiyuv of Yudalid, right? Afal pisha ein daito lachsar, kfar chal chiyuv bedika at Yudalid. So what it means is the following:
that although now we don't have the Shasa Bedika, but we know that you're going to be there at the time of the Bedika, and you won't be able, right? I'm sorry, that you won't be there at the time of the Bedika, and therefore you won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah Bedika. However, what happens in a case where at Yudalid you will not be obligated in Bedika? For example, let's say that you rented out your house. So if you remember the sugya on Daf Dalet, the Gemara establishes there that the socher, if he gets the keys before Knisas Leil Yudalet, he's obligated in Bedika. And therefore it makes sense to say that this halacha of Shloshim Yom should not apply in the case of a socher maskir. Now again, I don't know the details, so you're going to have to work out the logistics, but let's assume that there's already a shtar on the table, so all we have to do is wait until Yudalit, and that shtar effectuates a schiras to the socher before Yudalit. In that case, we're not going to anticipate a chiyuv bedika in Shloshim Yom coming as an anticipation, if you will, of the chiyuv of Leil Yudalit.
How about a sale?
Maybe a sale would be the same, but again, hold on to a sale for just a second until I just get my head wrapped around that. He's saying the following: if we assume that the Iker Chiyuv Bedika is Beleil Yudalit, but this halacha Shloshim Yom is not generating a brand new Chiyuv, but rather it's anticipating the Chiyuv of Yudalit, then we can begin to understand the Sugya of Socher Maskir. The Sugya of Socher Maskir assumes that the Shas Chovoso of Bedika is Yudalit. So therefore, the only possibility of a chiyuv bedika would be on Yudalit. That's the pashtus of the sugya. You know, before we get into complications. So if the chiyuv of bedika emerges on Yudalit, and that's clearly indicated by the fact that the maskir or the socher will be chayv, depending upon who's holding on the maftechos when we enter into Yudalit, then in a case where there'll be a socher who's going to take over the house before Yudalit, then the owner of the house will not come under the chiyuv of Shloshim Yom Kodem L'Chag. Why? Because we're saying now that the Shloshim Yom Kodem L'Chag is anticipating that chiyuv. But what if I know that chiyuv will never emerge? Sorry, Nira, this is the paragraph of Tosefes Bir, the Ikar Chiyuv Bedika Chal Rak V'Yom Yudalit. And therefore the maskir will be able to exempt himself from Bedika if he signs a contract, gives over the keys before Leil Yudalit. So Chal Leil Yudalit Kodem Shemosar HaMaskir Samavtech LaSocha HaMaskir Livdo. In other words, the maskir's chiyuv is clinched at the moment of Leil Yudalit if he's holding on to the maftechos. On the other hand, the socher's chiyuv is clinched if he's holding on to the maftechos. It means the Zman Chalos HaChiyuv is B'Leil Yudalit. So there's no new Shas Chovoso that the Gemara is trying to establish here in Yotze V'Shayara, which is Shloshim Yom, but rather Shloshim Yom is only there because he won't be able to fulfill his Chiyuv insofar as he's leaving his house on Leil Yudalit. But that's predicated on the assumption that he will become Chayev on Leil Yudalit. So again, at this point we're presenting the following thesis. It's not the only way of learning this Sugya, that the Chiyuv of Bedika depends upon Yudalit. But what Rashi means is that already 30 days before the Chag, he has to be doeg, he has to be worried about tzarche achameis. What Rashi means to say, he already has to be concerned with a chiyuv that's going to come on Leil Yudalit. And what's going to be with that chiyuv on Leil Yudalit? He's not going to be able to fulfill that chiyuv on Leil Yudalit. So already Shloshim Yom, he's got this mindset, well, I know I'm going to be chayuv in the Bedika. I know I'm leaving the house and I won't be able to implement the Chiyuv Bedika, and therefore I'm going to chaparayin, I'm going to anticipate that Chiyuv Bedika, and I'm going to implement it now within 30 days. So already at Shloshim Yom, he has the ability, well, first of all, he has the responsibility to think in advance about the fact that he will become Chayv on Leil Yudalit, again, assuming there's no Skirus. And realizing now that when he leaves the house, he won't be able to fulfill that chiyuv, and therefore, he's got to fulfill that chiyuv right now. But only because of Leil Yudalit. So we're not changing the Shas Chovoso. Correct? The Shas Chovoso remains Yudalit, but through this mechanism of Shloshim Yom, we're anticipating the inability of the person to implement his chiyuv in its time when the chas chovo is chal, and therefore he's going to do the bedika now, but it's really the bedika of yudalit. Aval b'maskir v'socher shu hiskir sabayis b'yom gimel yacher. And therefore we know that the maskir is not even going to be there on Yudalit. He doesn't have possession of his house on Leil Yudalit. Therefore he doesn't become chayiv in the bedika. Because again, when is the chayiv bedika? It's on Yudalit according to this approach. Now he's not even chayiv in bedika. And therefore, yefshel chayiv as a maskir bedika b'tchilas Leil Yom. In other words, if shloshim yom kodem l'chag, he knows. Again, how he knows it is a logistical problem, but in theory, in the conceptual sense, he knows that he's going to rent out the house on Leil Yudalit. Therefore, we know that there won't be a chiv that'll emerge on Yudalit. And if that be the case, we're not going to say kevet shachal of chiv. Therefore, it goes back retroactively to shloshim yom because he won't be able to because mechatchilo we know that lo chal of a chiv. The chiv is only going to be with Leil Yudalit, and he's not going to be there. Aval im biyom Yudalit abayis hu b'rishus ha-socher is mechatchilo lo chal of a chiv gam tchilas shloshim yom. So this is all based on the following premise, Rabbi Osai, that there's no such thing as a date, Shloshim Yom, that generates a Chiyuv Bedika in that Zman. In other words, that's not really the Zman Achiyuv. If that was the Zman Achiyuv, we'd have to work very hard to anticipate, to reconcile the fact that Socher Maskir was saying that Yud Gimel is the Chiyuv. Meaning, let's say the Maskir rents out his house on Yud Gimel. The Gemara says explicitly, since the Socher is holding on to the Maftechus, the Maskir is not Chayiv in Bedika. It's the Socher is Chayiv in Bedika. Why is that so? After all, Shloshim Yom Kodem L'Chag, he, the Maskir, was holding on to the keys. The answer is that there's no din of a Chiyuv or a Zman Chiyuv, a Chalos Zman Chiyuv, Bedika, Shloshim Yom. That's not what we're saying. Because if that were what we were saying, then who cares if the schiyus took place on Yud Gimel, the maskir would still remain chayiv in bedika. The answer is no. There's no inherent chiyuv. When does the chiyuv emerge? What's the zman of the chiyuv of bedikas chometz? Leil Yudalit. The halacha of daiga that he has to worry and calculate already, how am I going to fulfill that chiyuv, even though it's a month before the chiyuv emerges, that halacha is based on Shloshim Yom Kodem L'Chag, and now Shloshim Yom he's going to implement the chiyuv, which he won't be able to implement the chiyuv b'shas chovoso. But the magic of Shloshim Yom is that we can take the chiyuv of Yudalit, and now we can fulfill it and implement it before Yudalit. And that's what I call the retroactive or the anticipation of a chiyuv that's going to emerge later on. The other way of learning it would be to say no, that the Shloshim Yom is a new Machayev. But then again, you're going to have to work out the details here, because how do you reconcile that with the fact that in the case of in the sugi of Maskir and Socher, there, what's the critical moment? Leil Yudalit. Why should that be the critical moment? There's Halakha of Shloshim Yom, Kodem L'Chag. So again, what we end up with is a very new kind of Halakha of Shloshim Yom, which I don't know if we have any precedent in Halakha. I'm sure there is somewhere in Shas, we'll find such a thing, where if I know I'm not going to be able to fulfill my Chiyuv in its time, I can fulfill my Chiyuv before the time, when it's possible for me to fulfill that Chiyuv. That's a brand new halacha. Adam, do you want to say something?
Yes, but the fact is that's all well and good, except that right now he is in possession of the keys, and that's a chazaka.
Okay, that I told you. We'll have to work out the logistics here. How do we know in that particular scenario that he's going to rent out the house to a socher, and therefore when he leaves the house, he's not chayiv in bedika? That's a logistic question.
Even he has a contract to do that, it might fall apart.
Okay, that has to be worked out. Again, but in the conceptual world, you begin to see that there's a possibility of saying that the reason why the maskir is chayiv in bedika is because he left the house shloshim yom, and he won't be able to fulfill his chiyuv bedika on Leil Yudalit. If, on the other hand, he will not become chayiv in the bedika on Yudalit, then that's a whole different story. So let's wait. Just give me a few minutes just to get the picture, so I don't want to lose the concentration here. If you take a look in the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, he has the following. In Sif Aleph, he talks about the straightaway case, the simple case of Hamafarish B'yotze B'shayor. And he adds another condition. He doesn't have a shliach to fulfill his bedikon leil yudal. So, right? So he doesn't have a shliach. If he had a shliach, that would be fine. Let him appoint an agent, and the chiyuv and the mitzvah will be fulfilled in its time. Tok shloshim yom zakuk livdok, and kodim shloshim yom ein zakuk livdok. But if, let's say, it was daito lachzor, and he knows that he won't be able to do the bedika because he's coming back to his house too late to do the bedika, or maybe he'll come out to his house on Chol HaMoed, he's arriving in his house, is then tzarech livdok no matter how long it is, even if it's the beginning of the year, even if it's Rosh Hashanah and on. Now I want you to take a look on page 16, and that's Sif Gimel. Here's a very interesting Shulchan Aruch. He says the following: Yisrael hayotze mi beis eino Yehudi. So the case is that a Jew is living in a house which he doesn't own. Let's say he's paying rent, or he's not paying rent. I don't know what it is. He has a room in the house, or he maybe rented the entire house, but he doesn't own the house.
The goy owns the house.
The goy owns the house. That's how, I'm sorry. I meant to say that the goy owns the house. Now, we're already within Shloshim Yom. It's past Shushan Purim. And now he leaves the house. The Jew leaves the house. Not that he leaves the house like the case of Yotze B'Shayara, where he's going to return home at some point. He's just going on a long trip. But rather, Nichnas L'Bayis Acher Be'ir Zo O Holich L'Ir Acheres. He now reestablishes his home, his domicile, if you will, in a different bias. Where is this bias? Bias might be within the city, it might be somewhere outside the city, in a different city. In such a case, let me just present the question before we see the answer to the Shulchan Aruch. Do we say A, that since Tok Shloshim Yom he became chayav in Bedika, right, because he's got to do the Bedika despite the fact the house is owned by a guy, but he's living there and he has his chametz there, he's chayav in Bedika, and therefore he has to do a Bedika before he leaves the house, even though his intention is to leave the house on a permanent basis and establish a brand new bias for himself, but nevertheless he was chayav in Bedika at that moment? Or do we say no? When do we say you're chayv in bedika within Shloshim Yom? That's only because you are going to remain in that house. Meaning, you're not giving up the house. It's your house. You're going to return at some point to the house. Maybe during Pesach, maybe after Pesach, but you're going to return to the house. You still have a connection to that house. And then we can say that within Shloshim Yom, we can clamp a chiyuv down on you. Says the Mechaber, listen carefully. Eino tzarech levayer bias ha'eno Yehudi. I mean, the word levar him means lived oak, right? Yeah. He doesn't have to check the house of the eno Yehudi. Now, if I would stop here, I would assume that I would draw the conclusion that the reason why the halacha changes here, we're not going to apply the principle of Yotze B'Shayara, is because who owns the house? The guy owns the house. Again, I'm just translating the words in the Mechaber. But then, if we read on, the Mechaber gives us a whole nother impression. He says, "Sharei Yekayim Mitzvus Biur Bi Oso Bayis Acher." In other words, what the Mechaber is concerned about here is where will he fulfill his mitzvah of Biur? And it works like this: if he's leaving the house, bye bye Charlie. That's a sayonara. Well, I'm not going to see this house at all, right? And it's a bayis eino Yehudi, so I have a problem now because I don't have an alternative for my kiyum of mitzvah's biur. Okay?
He's going to be homeless.
Right? He's going to be homeless. Let's say he's on a camel. I don't know where he is, right? In such a case, we have a problem. Why? Because he won't be able to fulfill his mitzvah biur. So, Lenny, in your terminology, what kind of mitzvah biur are we talking about now? What? It's a chovas gavra. Do you follow my point? Yes. I'm obligated in biur chametz. Correct? How will I fulfill my Bir Chometz? Says the Machaber, I have a solution to that problem. He's going to now enter into another bias. And he now establishes a brand new bias. And as a result, we don't have to worry about his key of mitzvah's bir. He will fulfill his mitzvah bir, albeit in the other bias. But the implication is that in the case, as you call it, Sam, so well, homeless, he leaves his first bias, but he's homeless. In that case, what are we going to do about his key of mitzvah's bir? Then he's going to do the bir before he leaves his house. So in other words, there's this moment in time, within 30 days, he's leaving his house, he's completely evacuating his house on a permanent basis. He's not going back to the house. He doesn't own the house. And at this point, maybe we should apply the principle of Yotze B'Shayara, meaning before you leave, you have to do Bedika. No, says the Mechaber, we're not going to apply the din of Yotze B'Shayara here, because Yotze B'Shayara means that you will not be able to fill the Bedika. You're riding on a camel. You are in a Sfina. A Sfina is not a bais. You have no possibility of being Makar Yochovitz Gavra of Mitzvah's Bir. And in such a case, right before you check out of your house, you can fulfill your Mitzvah Bir. But in this case, where he's leaving his house on a permanent basis, but he's establishing another house, then says the Mechaber, he will fulfill his Mitzvah. You have a wonderful opportunity for him to fulfill his Mitzvah Bir in the other house.
This is based on your assumption that this doesn't mean lived like, because he does change.
I can't hear you. He doesn't mean.
The Mechaber changes his language from Bedika, and now he's talking about Bir. And you're saying it's the same
thing. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have time to go into that, Sam, but Bir means Bedika. In other words, you can't fulfill the Mitzvah Bir without. You have to check and find the chametz. But again, there's such a complexity here. I don't understand this mechaber, because the mechaber should have answered one question with a cutting knife. Either or. Just tell me, is he chayv and bedika when he leaves the house? At that point, I have to ask the following question. Well, on the one hand, he's never going to come back to this house. He doesn't even own the house. You could argue, but he's got chametz in the house, right? He's been living in the house for the last, I don't know how long, so he's brought his chametz in. Maybe that alone should be mechayev in bedika. But either way, the mechaber should have faced the music here and given me a clear-cut answer to the following question. A Jew lives in a house. The house is owned by an Eni Yehudi. As soon as he packs out, he has no connection to this house. Excellent. Okay, you're ahead of me. But right now, I'm not even thinking in those terms. I'm just asking the following question: what is the relationship between the Jew and this bias, as far as the Chiyuv Bedika is concerned? If we're going to consider this a very unique case, this is not your classic case. Because it's owned by an Yehudi. So let the Mechaber tell me that once he packs out of the house belongs to the Yehudi, he's not Chayv and Bedika, period. Why does the Mechaber add a stipulation? He adds a condition. The reason why he's not Chayv and Bedika when he leaves this house is because he's going to establish another house. And he's going to be Mekayim his mitzvah spear in another house. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't he have a chiyuv bedika on the first house? I mean, his chametz is there. So Norman says it's not his chametz, right? But I don't know. I'm not such a big chacham yet. Maybe you saw the Mishnah Berurah. He's going to come up with a whole new thesis that maybe the chametz doesn't belong to him once he checks out of the house. We'll have to go through the Mishnah Berurah. But before we go through the Mishnah Berurah, just in conceptual terms, there should be a very fine... let's say, vacillation, a chakiria. What's the status of a person who rents out a house from a guy, his rental terminates, and now he's checking out of the house? Does he have to worry about bedika before he checks out of the house? You might say, well, let him take the first plane out of it. I don't have time for bedika, right? Let's exaggerate. Well, that's not true, because in Yotze B'Shayara, we're going to say, hold on, my friend, before you get on the plane, you better do the bedika. Your chametz is in the house. Or do we say no? You know what? In the case of Yotze B'Shayara, I'm coming back to my house. It's my house. I got my chametz there. I'm still connected to the house. I'm not leaving the house on a permanent basis. And before I check out, knowing full well I won't be able to implement my chiyuv bedika in its time, I'm chayv in bedika. But in this case, the bias belongs to an Eni Yehudi. I'm not a bias of an Eni Yehudi would not be mechayev me in bedika unless I live in the house. So as long as I live in the house, I'm chayev in bedika. If I was in the house on Leil Yudalad, I'm chayev in bedika. I got my chametz. I'm living in the house. I'm chayev in bedika. But if I leave the house before Yudalad, and I'm never coming back to the house. The house belongs to that Yehudi. Maybe there's no chiyuv bedika. That would have been one fair approach. I'm convinced that the Mechaber did not take that approach. But what approach did he say? He said, you know what? He is chayv in bedika. Maybe. When is he chayv in bedika? If he's going to be a homeless guy and he has no possibility of being mekayim his mitzvah beer anyway. We have to get this guy some opportunity to fulfill his chayv beer. You know what? The Mechaber says, I have a solution to the problem. He's going to do his beer in another house, which is going to be his house. But why? What, I mean, you're skirting the issue over here, because you first have to come to a more, you know, a more definite conclusion on a fundamental issue. What's the relationship to this bias? Do we say, A, that since within Shloshim Yom, we have a Chiyuv Bedika, and even though the bias is not owned by the guy, it doesn't matter, the Jew is living there, right now, today, he's living there, and not only that, he has his Chametz there, so that's enough to slap him down with a Chiyuv Bedika. Or do we say, no, that in this case he leaves the chametz behind, Shalom al Yisrael, I leave the bias, I leave the chametz, let the guy do a bedika, what do I care? I'm not chayav a bedika. That should be a fundamental issue. And that issue should not in any way be contingent on whether he's setting up another bias. If I'm going to tell you that the first bias is still machayav him bedika, then I don't care if he has another bias. Now take a look at Rav Soloveitchik here, and he gives a mashal. And this is on page Lamed Tes. You see a paragraph that starts, Ach. You have to know, just historically, this Se'if, number Gimel, if you take a look, the Se'if that we're learning in the Mechaber, in the Be'er HaGol, he tells you it's a tour. Now, this tour, it's a very rare kind of case. The tour is, there's material in the Rishonim way before the tour. This tour is based on the Mordechai. The Mordechai, in turn, is based on the Rav Yah. So I'm just pointing this out to you. Well, let's just read the language of the Torah so we know where the Mechaber is coming from. This is on the bottom of the right column on Lamed Tes. He says, Kosav Rav Yah, Dafilu hu beiso shel nochri, V'yotzei ha-Yisrael, I can't read the next word, Mimenu, Afal pisha nochri, Yitain l'tocho es chemtzo v'pesach. Now it's all the chametz that's going into the house during the course of Pesach is going to be chemtzo shel nochri. I don't have to worry about that. Nevertheless, says the Rav Yoh, ha-mitzvah mutelis al Yisrael. Lasok v'livdok l'vayr. What is this? Kishiyotze. Oh. Then he says, v'hani mili, that's only b'mefarish v'yotze b'menu b'shayara. Aval
Nechnas.
You know what? I'm going to give this to you. Because
I'm just extrapolating. We don't have
it. Oh, you don't have it either. So, you know, I'm just going to make life a little bit easier for myself so I don't have to every line stop and ask you to extrapolate. What page is on? Lamed Tes, we said? Okay. Anybody want this, by the way? It's an extra copy. Again, you have to deal with the extrapolation. Okay. So what are we doing now? We're reading the tour and the Mordechai and the Rav Yoh. Okay then? So what is the Rav Yoh saying? Here's a case where the house is owned by a Nochri. The Israel is checking out of the house. It seems that he's not going to be there over the course of Pesach. All the Chometz going into the house henceforth is going to be the Chometz Shel Goy. Nevertheless, says the Rav Yoh, HaMitzvah Mutelis Al Yisrael, Lasok V'Livdok U'Levar V'Chule, before he leaves the house. And this is all part of the Shloshim Yom. Oh, now he stipulates the following condition. V'Amei Dvar Mamurim Hani Mili V'Mefarech V'Yotzei V'Menu B'Shayara, which means that he intends ultimately to return to the house. Avol Im Nichnas HaYisrael V'Menu L'Bayis Acher, which I assume he means he's now got a new house and he left the first house completely. And it doesn't matter whether it's Be'er Zos or Be'er Acheres. V'yivdok v'yivar shama, he's going to do his bedika there in the new house. Again, we're within 30 days before the Chag. Sulo boy l'mivdak hocha. Therefore, he no longer has the chiyuv to be bodei in his house. I don't mean his house, we'll call it the first house, if you follow what I mean. The Torah quotes this Rav Yoh, and the Mechaber, in the footsteps of the Torah, who's in the footsteps of the Rav Yah, etc., etc., he, the Mechaber, quotes this. Now the Beis Yosef is going to give us the key. You know, whenever you want to know where the Shulchan Aruch is coming from, and this is not a foolproof enterprise, but it's 99%. So you go back to the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef goes back to the tour, and he tries to understand the tour. And then you read the Mechaber, you begin to get more of an appreciation for what the Mechaber is writing in Shulchan Aruch based on the Beis Yosef. So he says the following. This is the language of the Beis Yosef on the top left column on Lamed Tes. Masha chilek avi ha'ezri, the Rav Yo, bein nichnas lebais acher lo nichnas. If we read the Rav Yo carefully, as quoted by the tour, he says, avol in nichnas ha'yisrov imenu lebais acher, then and only then is he potter from deacon the first bias. What is this distinction between whether he's going into another bias or he's not going into like Nira Mishum? Who Mishum? The Afagav the Shloshi Yom Kodem Pesach Chalal of Chovas Biur. Okay, he seems to be assuming that there's a Chovas Biur Shloshim Yom Kodem Lachag. Ein Chovas Biur Chalal of El LeInyan Shu Zokuk Levayer. He's got to do Biur at some point. So the Shloshim Yom now clamps upon him a Chiyuv Biur. Why? Because he's got a house, he's got chometz in the house, he's living in the house, he hasn't yet checked out, and it's Shloshim Yom Kodem Lachag. Therefore he has a Chiyuv Biur. But where is he going to be Mekayim the Chiyuv Biur? If he's a Yotze B'Shayor, he's going to be Mekayim the Chiyuv Biur here in his house, before he leaves. But if he's going to another bias, and again it's Shloshim Yom, so he has a Chiyuv Biur. But now the Chiyuv Biur, so to speak, shifts from one bias over to the other bias. Avolola Inyan Shazokik Levar B'Bayis Zeh, meaning the first house, because what? He has a Chiyuv to do the Biur. But he doesn't have to do the beer in this house. He can do the beer in another house. It's kol shu, therefore hilkach. Kol shu nichlas levayis acher. Harei hu mekayim bo mitzvahs beer vidayo. But if eino nichlas levayis acher, and again within shloshim yom chalal of chovas beer, then tzorch levar by zeg, and by zeg means the first bias. K'dei lotzeis yedei chovas beer shechalal. The Rav in the next paragraph summarizes the Beis Yosef, and he says that the din of Shloshim Yom Zokag Levayer Eino din shechal al abayis da abayis toad bediku biur. Again, if you would say the Shloshim Yom is a chovas bias, correct?
Right, the word alav from the previous paragraph is on him, not on the bayis.
Oh, if you were to say that that's the Rav wants Kam Lafuki, if you would have understood before the Beis Yosef came along that the Chiv is on the bias, then obviously the mitzvah of beer and Bidika beer would not be at all contingent on whether he's moving into another bias or not. The Chiv is Chal on the bias, because Shloshim Yom, Kodom Lachag, there's a Chiv on the bias. No. That's not the halacha according to Beis Yosef. The mechanics is that Chal Agavra, and where's the Gavra going to be Mekayim that Chiyuv? Well, if he has no other option, he's not moving into a new house, he'll be Mekayim that Chovas Gavra in his first house. Correct? But if, on the other hand, he has another... So for example, Mefarish V'Yotzi V'Shayara, and he has no opportunity to fulfill his Chiyuv B'dika B'shaita on Yudalit. Now he has a Chovas Gavra that was engendered by Shloshim Yom. He has no choice but to be Bodek and Mevaris Chometz in his house before he leaves out to the Shayara. But here, in a case where he's checking out, and he's going to establish a bias elsewhere, so he has a Chovas Gavra, give him any bias, whatever bias is a bias. Again, he has to live in the bias, he has to take comments into the bias, but Loch Paslon is a bias who Yivdok. So let him be Bodek the second house. Says Rav Soloveitchik, Ach Be'emes, in the next paragraph, Zut Mu'amiot. And listen to the mushel he gives. What happens if a person owns 10 batim? Right, so his Chiyuv Gavra is now going to be Chal, and he could be Mekayim his Chiyuv Gavra with how many out of the 10 batim? One out of the 10 batim, right? So he's Mechuyuv Livdok as Kulon. According to Beis Yosef, why don't we establish the following halacha? That since he can be Mekayim his Chiyuv Bedika, his Chovas Gavra beer in one bias, therefore we should remove his chiyuv bedika vis-a-vis the other nine batim. He says, but that's not true. The truth is that he has a chiyuv bedika on 10 batim, despite the fact that he can fulfill his chiyuv gavra with one of the batim, but each one of the batim has an inherent chiyuv in it. So he's got to be voting all 10 houses. He can't just say, well, I'll choose one of the 10 and I'll be makai my chiyuv bedika. Let's go back to our first case then, the Beis Yosef's case of Kain Lama Yipakam Imenu Achiyu Bedika. If he was Chayim Bedika in the first house, and Araya, you admit to me that if he would move out and get on a camel, but he has no new bias, as Sam calls it beautifully, he's homeless, he would have to do Bedika in the first bias. So that first bias is a bias that generates Achiyu Bedika. So now what are you going to tell me? I'm being mafkia that Achiyu Bedika because he sets up another bias. Why is that different than 10 batim? If I have 10 batim and I fulfill my Achiyu Bedika on one bias, does that mean therefore I'm exempt from being bodik the other nine batim? So, who cried is chayiv b'bedika shall bias them, meaning the first bias. So once there's a chayiv that's chal vis-a-vis this first bias, sulo poka. Even though he's able to implement and fulfill his chovas gavra with another bias, what difference does it make? And he writes here, the kanira shehirgish b'kusha zu hamogid avram. Sammy, what do you want to say?
He still owns a 10 house, doesn't he?
Which case? The case of the Beis Yosef? The two of the 10 houses. Yeah, he owns all the 10 houses.
So it's unlike the house that he left, the first house.
Right. But so again, Sammy, I think what the Rav would say at this point, again, I can't talk in his you know, it's not Shechina Mitaberes between the Rav, but I think this is what he would say. If you want to tell me that since he doesn't own the house, that ba'ofen chad mashmai choter, he's not chayv and bedika vis-a-vis that bias, then what difference does it make if he's homeless? Again, the Beis Yosef says that if he's homeless, he's got to do a bedika before he checks out of the bias.
Otherwise,
again, nothing changed.
So he won't be doing bedika.
I understand. No, but Sam, you understand the logic. You can't tell me that because I won't do bedika, therefore I'm going to, you know, it's like, let's say a guy is homeless. So I'm going to say to him, well, Let him buy a piece of chametz and destroy it and fulfill his mitzvah bedika. That's ridiculous. The only way they could justify the understanding that he's been mekayim his chametz beer as a chametz gavra in the first house in the homeless case is only if you assume that the first bias is mekayim and bedika. No, if you're already admitting that the first bias is mekayim bedika, who cares if he has another bias? Why is it different than the person who has 10 batim? In other words, if you want to tell me, Sammy, your logic, and I can accept your logic, that the fact that this bias belongs to a guy and I leave the bias, Shalom al Yisrael, go fly a kite, I don't have anything to do with this bias anymore, just tell me that the guy is going to bring in his chametz and that's all I need to know, it's not my issue, it's not my headache, that would be valid. And then the Mechaber would have said, well, the Beis Yosef would have said that it doesn't matter whether he checks into a house or he doesn't check into the house, it's not my bias, and if it's not my bias, then there's no mitzvah bedika. You can't tell me, well, we're going to make up a new mitzvah bedika on someone else's bias, just artificially, in order to be Matai Wachovah's gavra. That doesn't make a bit of sense. So there's an admission here, an implicit admission on the part of the Beis Yosef that the first bias is the bias. And he applies the principle of Yotze B'Shayara, let him do a bedika before he leaves the bias. He says, no. He could be kind of his chovas gavra in another bias. What difference does that make? That's ridiculous. You've just established that he has a chovas bedika vis-a-vis the first bias. And you admit that if he doesn't set up another bias, he's got to be bodek this bias. You're applying the principle of Yotze B'Shayara. You're just telling me, well, it's not exactly Yotze B'Shayara, because in the case of Yotze B'Shayara, he has no other bias. Here he has another bias. That's a very fine technical, you know, mechanical distinction, but it's not relevant to us. Because if you're telling me that Yotze B'Shayara, he's still connected to this bias, you're telling me that in this case, he's still connected to his bias. He's got his chametz in the bias. It's Shloshim Yom Korim L'Chag. And in the language of the Beis Yosef, again, Afagav de Shloshim Yom Korim HaPesach, Chala Olav Chovas Bir. Let's add two words. Chovas Bir Klapei HaBayis. And therefore, we should apply the principle of Yotze B'Shayara. And he says, no. You know why? Because he'll be Makayim his Chovas Bir and his Chovas Gavra in another house. If he's not going to do it, then of course he'll have to do it here. How is that different than Asorah Bat? That's the problem. Yes.
Okay. I need to harp on a certain point. I read this. Okay, not the Rav. You and the Rav both have this equation that when he says beer, it really means bedika. I'm not so sophisticated. I read it. I read bedika is bedika and beer is beer. Bedika, I understood, is a chal and the bias. Beer is something they want you. It's not enough. You just take it and then get rid of it.
Wait, Sam. I have to cut you off here. Are you imagining in your mind? I don't want to accuse you of anything. So if I want to clear out any choshev ksherim, are you imagining in your mind that, please tell me you're not, that there's such a thing called bedik without beer?
No.
Oh, okay, good. You calmed me down.
No.
Because I was about to blow my stack over here. I was getting very excited. There's no such thing as bedik without beer. It's meaningless.
Such thing as bedik.
Don't even dream of it.
Bedik and bittel.
What I'm saying is that now you're going back to the Dorises. We're talking about the Rabbanans.
No, that's precisely what I'm doing because
wait,
the Sam, language was
Sam,
so
just
exact.
One second, Sam. Again, answer my question just to calm me down. Is there such a thing as bedika without beer?
Bedika without the Rabbanan cream of beer, yes.
What do you mean on it? Like some sort of Dorisa?
You know, you bite it, but then you're not going to carry a beer as such. You just.
If you're being mafkirid, then you've covered your Doraisa, but you haven't covered your Drabana. The Drabana required bedika beer. And again, there's no such thing as bedika beer.
I'm just telling you, I read this. I'm not making it up.
No, that's just saying hefker could be meaningful as far as the Doraisa is concerned. That's
not
our issue.
As far as beer is concerned, I read this whole thing as the Chovas Gavra of beer.
Well, you can ask me another question. Does the Torah recognize bittel as beer? I don't know. That's going to be a major issue. The Rambam holds yes. Other Rishonim say no. From the Rambam's perspective, when the Torah says tashbisu, it means bittel.
This is getting too convoluted.
So I don't know why. What we're saying is that the Rabbanan are not relying on bittel. Why aren't they relying on bittel? We could go back to basics. You can tell me that ain't daiteim shel shavos, and we don't think he's sincere about his bittel. You can tell me shema yavol yachlo because he's leaving the chametz around. You can give me any number of answers as to why the Rabbanan are not going to be satisfied with bittel. So when the Rabbanan are not satisfied with bittel, what do they tell you? Bedika? Bedika? Are you serious? They tell you to destroy your chametz. How are you going to destroy your chametz? You have to be bodek. You have to look in every nook and cranny, get out that chametz and burn it. But don't tell me bedika. There's no such thing as an entity of bedika unto itself. That doesn't exist. So look, Sam, if you want to be Mechadish Chidushim, that's fine. And Chas V'Sholom, I'll read your Chidushim. I'll publish them. Telling you that, you know, my brain works within a certain, you know, limited capacity. In my capacity, Bedika and Beer are one and the same. In other words, on a Drabana level, we're not going to allow you to keep Chametz around. You can be mafkir your chametz, you can be mavatel your chametz, you can avoid bal yerov by much. That's all wonderful. But the Rabbanan are not happy with that. The Rabbanan don't want you to leave chametz in your possession. How do you get rid of that chametz? Number one, you bodek your house, gather together all your chametz, and then go out and destroy it. How do you destroy it? Rabbi Yehuda says, straight for the chacham, say anyway, ashpas sol kol dom. Now, and again, just, I don't want to lose focus here, because it's very easy to, you know, it's fragile in the sense that if you don't hold on to it, at least I'm projecting my... If I don't hold on to it very carefully, I can very easily lose it. We're talking about a scenario where the Beis Yosef comes up with a condition that just doesn't make any sense. And he says the following. I'm going to let you leave this house. Again, let's go over it. It's owned by a guy. You're leaving and checking out on a permanent basis. I'm going to let you leave it without bedika. Why? It's not Yotzei B'Shayara. Because in Yotzei B'Shayara, you're left without a possibility of bedika bira, of being Mekayim Nechovas Kavra. Here, I'm going to let you get off the hook. Why? Because you're checking into a new house. And if you're checking into a new house, I'm going to potter you up from your bedika in the first house. Why? Because you're Mekayim the bedika in the second house? How is that different than someone who has 10 houses? He was bodek one of them. No one's going to say he's potter from the other nine.
Yeah, but we're talking about
the difference is his.
So why did the Mechaber just say the following? This is not my house. Period. I don't want to have anything to do with this house. It's what word can I use? It's ancient history. It's what phrase can we use? It's ancient history, right? Right. He can't go back. I'm leaving the house. It belongs to a guy. He's bringing his chametz in and fatig and asik. Don't tell me it's only fatig and asik because he has another bias. Don't tell me that if he doesn't have another bias, he's chayim in bedikah. Because the moment that you utter those words, you're it's odas baldin that since you lived in the house, that's enough to be mechayev you in bedikah. How do we exempt him from that chiyuv bedika just because he's doing bedika elsewhere? Do we ever have a case where because I do bedika here, I'm part of from doing a bedika there?
No, you're not talking about it's not this anyway. We're talking about two different inyanim here.
You understand the machaber, Alan, but I want to tell you the truth. The Mishnah Berurah, who is pretty intelligent, did not understand this machaber. Okay, but yeah, I just want you to know where you're holding here. That's all.
I understand. The thing that you see to me that. First of all, we have to say the bill to see what we're talking about here. He is living in a goy's house.
Right.
And the chametz belongs to a goy.
No, chas v'shom. Chas v'shom. If he's living in a goyish house and the chametz belongs to a goy, that's not his
house. Okay, so
that's not relevant.
Did he bring the chametz in or he didn't?
Yeah, for sure. He's been living there for the last 12 months. Maybe 12 years.
He brought the chametz in. Okay? So he brought the chametz in. Well, the problem, there's two inyanim here. There's in a bialis, who owns the thing. The chametz, I'm not talking about the bias. And the second thing is he physically going to be there or will he be over in Balyor or Balyomotze?
Right. Okay. So he's not going to be there, neither in the case of Yotze Mishayor, nor in the case of the bias Rishon and the bias Sheni, that the bias Rishon belongs to a guy.
Right.
Now, who owns the chametz?
He owns the chametz.
Oh, so Lenny says, no. Lenny says he doesn't own the chametz. Why? Because he checks out of the house.
That
is fascinating.
Maybe he's mafkir it
because he has no intention of returning back to the house. The guy owns the house. Let the guy deal with the house. That's what Lenny's saying, right? Am I saying? So I like that very much. My only problem with that is, then why is he chayev in bedikah if he doesn't have another house? Oh, he's going to say, I'm not mafkir my chametz? Is that what's happening? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Whether he's mafkir his chametz or not has nothing to do with whether he has another house. He can decide, well, you know, there may be some piece of pastry somewhere in the house. I'm not interested. Let the guy have it. And I'm mafkir it. And the guy takes it over and fine. And that's enough to be mafkir the chiyuv bedikah. But that's not what the Beis Yosef says. Because if all things are equal, if this would be a case where he has no other bias to be bodek, to be makayim is chiyuv bir, that's what he says over here. Yim yesh. What was his language? Hare yikayim. Mitzvahs bir be also bias acher, we'll call bias number two, and therefore he's exempt from bedikah in bias number one. Why didn't the Mechaber tell me more than that? That even if lo yekayim mitzvahs bir be also bias acher, he's part of a bir in the first, because he's mafker his chametz, the guy takes over the chametz. Why did the Mechaber add this condition? Again, I don't blame the Mechaber for it. The Mechaber is quoting the Tur. The Tur is quoting the Rav Yoh. So we have a whole chadgadi, a whole domino theory.
But that's where we go. The problem is, so when he leaves the guy's house,
right.
He has chametz that still has a shaykh. He has a shaykh.
Right. He's not master his chametz. You don't want to take Lenny's chametz.
No. Okay, right. And so what we have now is, you have, once you leave the house and you presumably left the chametz there, that's like chametz that's nela mimenu. It's like just like
you want to say it's like chametz enough of my polis.
Right.
Is that the case?
Either that or a chulda came in or whatever else. The fact is I don't know, that chametz is now not in my physical possession of knowing where it is. I'm not saying that I don't know where it is. It's gone. Okay. Now I've got to make a bedika on it because maybe it is around somewhere. So if I have a place to make a bedika on it, I don't find it, then I'm a vadalit.
No, but okay, but you have to be bodik. Yes, Machaber is saying you don't have to be bodik the house.
But if there's no, you're not the old house, though, that's for sure.
No, I'm saying you don't have to be bodik your part of the house, whatever it is. You don't need bodik. Why? Right. Because he's going to kaim his beer in his second house.
That's right, because this now, this chametz that when he left there, is the chametz is nelam.
No, so if it's Nelam Ibn, then why is he chayv and bedik in the first house if he doesn't have a second house?
Right, because if he doesn't have a second
house. You hear the problem? I'm both saying.
If he doesn't have a second house.
Yeah.
So then there's nowhere to know. Where are you going to be voted? About the world?
No, no, no. What do you mean where you reborn? We're talking about the moment before he checks out. He's about to leave his house.
Yes.
It's again, when I say his house, please don't catch me on words. Technically, the guy owns the house. But it's the house that he's been living in. At that moment, before he leaves the house, he comes to Rabbi Kermeyer and he says to Rabbi, do I have to do a bedikah? So the first thing Rabbi Kermeyer says is, he strokes his beard. Okay, you don't have a beard, but let's say you have a beard. And he says, what about Yotze B'Shayora? Yotze B'Shayora is leaving his house, he has to make a bedikah. I think you have to make a bedikah. Yeah. Oh. So then, at that point, he's about to make a bedikah.
And
then the rabbi says, wait a minute. Do you have another bias? Oh, you have another bias. Forget it. You don't have to do a bedikah.
So
what sense does that make? What is the logic?
You don't have to do a bedikah. You don't have to do a bedikah here.
Right. But I'm talking about here. I want to know what you first told me, right? I was the one who asked Shaila. Berzon, go ahead and do a bedikah. Why? Because it's Yosef B'Shayor. It's Tov Shloshim Yom. I understood that very well.
Right.
And in the language of Beis Yosef, Shloshim Yom Kodem HaPesach Chal of Chol Mizrim. I understand that. So I'm going to go ahead and do a bedikah. Then you call me back and you say, wait a minute, Berzon, are you going to be moving into a different house? I say, yeah. I say, forget it. You don't have to do a bedikah. The bedikah that I told you 1 second ago that you have to do, you're exonerated.
Yeah.
Why? Because you'll be Makayim Yehovah's beer in a second bias. How can you say that? How can you say that just because I'm Makayim Yehovah's beer in a second bias, therefore, all of a sudden you exempted me from thinking the first bias?
Just because.
And if a person goes from hotel to hotel to hotel within 30 days of Pesach, are you saying that he has to do bedikah in each one of them?
Because so what's the,
it's within the framework of 30 days.
So what's the case? He brought chametz into the hotel room.
Everywhere he goes, he brings chametz.
Again, lefiyadi is daiti. I don't know exactly how it works in hotels, you know. But let's if you grant me this, you know, this
Airbnb. He goes back.
Yeah, Airbnb. Right. If you grant me this premise that when I leave an Airbnb, anything I leave behind is hefker. Let's just, again, can you just grant me that premise without even thinking about it?
Yeah.
But let's, again, without, let's not be too much of an ibrachokam. I leave the house, shalom al yisro. I don't have my chametz in that house. In this case, I would apply the same logic. I have no intention of coming back. I lived there for a year. Who cares? I brought a chametz for a year. Who cares? Now let the Eni Yehudi deal with my chametz. I don't have any problem. Comes along with Machaber. He says, wait a minute. I'm going to ask you the following question. I'm going to investigate you. Do you have another house to go into?
But every time
what difference does it make if you have another house to go into?
But the case of the...
What do you say?
Why does the Machaber have the whole thing of this house, the first house, belongs to Eni Yehudi?
Correct.
What difference is
correct. And so therefore, it seems that what he's saying is that now the chametz doesn't belong to a Yehudi, it belongs to the Eino Yehudi. And that was that was what we're saying now. You say, I leave the Airbnb, I'm not for anything behind.
Yeah.
But if that be the case, then the Machaber should have said, I call it Ba'ofen Chad V'Cholok, he just should have said, look, you're leaving the house, you're being mafker the chametz, the guy takes over the chametz, that's it. Shalom al Yisrael, you're not chayiv in bedikah. No. The Machaber says, I will apply the principle of Yotze B'Shayor. I'm going to tell you that before you leave the house, you have to do bedikah. I'm going to assume that chametz is yours and you got to get rid of it.
That's
so
correct.
Who cares if I have another bias?
That's correct.
What happens if I have another bias? Well, what changed over here?
Because it's Nella in there. He doesn't see, there is no chametz.
What do you mean it's Nella?
No,
because he has another house?
No, if he's homeless, it's not Nella.
I don't get it.
The same chametz is Nella no matter where he goes. But the fact is, but he has a fear to make him a bedikah because it's his chametz and it's Nella Mimeno.
Okay. So why are you exonerating him because he has another bias? I don't get it.
No, you're not exonerating him.
That's what he says. He says explicitly that if he has another bias, he doesn't have to do bedikah in his first house.
You're not exonerating him from bedikah. You're exonerating him from bedikah on this spot.
Okay, why? Because what happened to my chiyuv on this spot?
You have no reason to assume it's there anymore.
Well, why? Just because I moved into another house?
No,
I don't get it.
Not because...
What, the mitzvahs of the chametz changed?
No.
The chametz is very intelligent.
No,
the chametz found out, we called up the chametz, and we told him, hey, Mr. Chametz, I want you to know I moved into another house. Oh, so the chametz disappeared.
No.
Oh, what's going on here? Nothing's changed in the comments.
You got to keep an eye on the ball here. The thing is,
I don't know what the ball is.
The ball is that.
I had a whole thing this morning about a man who wears tefillin in the shape of a ball. Question if he's a man, not be curious.
What I'm trying to say here is that if chametz is nela mimenu, he has a chiyuv to make a bedika. It was his chametz, he has the chiyuv to make a bedika. He has to make. He doesn't know where the chametz is, and there's no reason to assume it's any longer.
No, but why does the chametz say he has a chiv to make a bedika somewhere in the velt? All
right, that's right.
And that I don't understand. Tell me, he has a chiv to make a bedika on this house? You and in fact, if he doesn't have another house, that's what the chametz said. If I have another house, I don't have to make a chiv. I don't have to.
I have to make a bedika. I'm still looking for that same chametz. But the chametz might be in my new property. I don't know, Alan.
You know, sometimes you say things that are so deep and so profound that it's beyond my capability.
Very, very deep.
But the content of Mefarish and Yotir by Shayara, it seems to me, always applies to a house that you're planning to come back to.
Right.
And we see that in the Mechaber clearly, forgetting about the Kaf Zayin and Kaf Chet, the Shahari Yikai Mitzvah Biu Biyoto Bayit Acher,
right.
Leaving that. But then he goes on to say, Aval Imhu Mefaresho Yotze B'Shayara, in other words, the first part of the Halacha is not dealing with Mefaresho Yotze B'Shayara, it's dealing with a person who's leaving a place
permanently.
She will not have any
correct
relationship.
He's
anymore.
Severing the umbilical cord.
It's coincidental that it happens to be within 30 days. It's irrelevant. It's only relevant
when you say
back.
It's irrelevant. Keep in mind, the Mechaber says that before we get to Sif Bey, you know, to the second paragraph. In the first paragraph, the Mechaber says basically that just like in the case of Yotze B'Shayara, you're chayev in Bedika. Here too, when you leave this house on a permanent basis, you're chayev in Bedika before you leave the house. Then in the second paragraph, he says, but if you have another house, then you'll be Mekayev Yochiv Bedika in the second house, and you're potter from Bedika in the first house. Do you see the complexity in that? I don't know if anyone, you know, misery loves company here. I need some empathy. This is a very complicated business. And let me tell you something. Rav Soloveitchik grapples with this. And in the footnote here, in the Hari Academy, points out that the Mishnah Berurah grapples with this. I mean, let's go through the Mishnah Berurah. I mean, the Mishnah Berurah himself has a lot of trouble. He says, Chav Zayin, Hare Yikayim Mitzvahs Biur. Let's read the Mechaber, the Bayis Acher, right? Ein ze ikar atam. Let's underline those three words, those four words. Ein ze ikar atam. I mean, when you see a Mishnah Berurah saying Ein ze ikar atam, you know that he's got problems.
What does he mean by that?
In other words, somehow he's downgrading the stipulation, this whole second paragraph that the Mechaber adds here, Sharei Yikayim Mitzvahs Biur Bi'Oso Bayis Acher. That's not the Ikar Atam. We have to find the Ikar Atam, why he's parted from Bedika. And he says, Dechi Mishi Yeshlo Kama Batim Eino Mechuyiv Livdok Rak Bayis Echad. You can apply this tam and say, well, he's part of Mdika because he checked out one house and he's Mekayim Mitzvahs Biur in one house. Elamishum, the Kevan Shiyotse mi Besa Akum, Shalom and Aslachzor. Lenny, this was your logic.
Exactly.
Did I call you Norman before by mistake? If I did, I apologize. I don't know. Because I have a good friend, Norman Horowitz. So I'm sorry if I did that. But anyway, Lenny. So here he says the following. I'm cutting off from this house. I have no interest in going back to this house.
Exactly.
Is Mistama, right? Lenny, you could have written the Mishnah Berurah. Maybe you saw it. I don't know. And he says, Mafkir hu lechem so anishar shav.
Yeah,
well, I think in Airbnb, that's what, you know, again, I don't know, I was thinking, you know, if I left something of value, you know, in a hotel, or I don't know what the law is of this land or any other land, but at least in terms of ethics, you know, if I left something behind, and I call up the now sometimes the hotels say, she cleaned out everything, right. You know, that's, forget it, go
this
find
Lifnim Mishurat HaDin.
Maybe it's Lifnim Mishurat HaDin. Yeah. The other question is this, Yeyush, I mean, you really have to learn this sugya clearly. But anyway, this guy has no intention of going back for his chametz, period. He doesn't have an expensive bottle of whiskey that's chametz that he have to forget. That's not the case. It's basically like he took his chametz and he threw it into the street. You don't have to do a bedikah on that house. Vesu, from that moment on, ain't a chametz shalom. V'eino over a love about your own body months. Hello. Now, at this point, the Mishnah Berurah has no choice. He has to face the music. Right. What is he going to do with the next phrase in the Mechaber? Yeah. And the Mechaber says, because he has another bias. El mikol makom, im lo haya nichnas levayis acher konim ha-Pesach, kagon shu mefarish layom ha-yotzim Shabbat, das ha-yesh misha omer, okay, this is the Rav Yoh, the kevan shu tok shloshim yom, mitzvah olav l'kayim mitzvah bidika, Kodim she ate him a bias. He doesn't have another bias, right? So if he doesn't have another bias, right? If he doesn't have, am I reading this right? He doesn't have another bias.
Sounds like Chavis.
Yeah, am I right? Am I right? Just let me make sure I'm reading it right. Just one second. Das yesh misha omer kevan shu tosh shloshim yom. Mitzvah olav l'kayim mitzvahs bedika. Kodim she ate him a bias. Okay, before he leaves the house, because he doesn't have another house. That's good. Excellent point here. 2 points for the Mishnah Berurah. Touche. Because what he's pointing out is that until he leaves the house and he says goodbye to the house and the chametz in the house, he hasn't yet been mafkeh the chametz. So it makes sense that he can do a bedika in this house. Kevan shelo yikayim mitzvah zu b'makom acher. He has no other house to be mekayim the mitzvah. Okay, so again, before he leaves the house, what's the status of the chametz? It's his, correct?
Right.
Okay. So then, and then if he's not going to be Mekayim Mitzvah's beer anywhere else, it makes sense for him to be Mekayim Mitzvah's beer on his own chametz in this house that he's about to leave. Masha Enke Khan, in the case of the Mechaber where Yikareis Levayis Ach, Yikayim Shom Mitzvah's beer, Ein Shum Tam L'chaivo.
In the first place.
In the first place. Well, why not?
He's in the key now. He's not interesting
anymore. I don't know. I plead the fifth. I mamish don't understand. I understand. There are a lot of things I do understand, this Mishnah Berurah, but the punchline I don't catch. You follow me? When it comes to the Yuntish Shura, as we say, I am absolutely in the dark. I understand very well that in the case where he's not going to a vice acher, it's Shloshim Yom, he has a Chiyuv Bedika, he hasn't yet been mafkir the Chametz, it's his Chametz in the house that he was living in, he has a Chiyuv Bedika on that house. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, well, what good is it when the Mechaber says he has another house because it's no different than someone who has many, many houses? He's Chayav Bedika in all the houses. And at this point, the Mishnah Berurah just leaves me in the lurch. He says that if he doesn't have another house, he is Chayav Bedika. But, Masha Enkein, Kishi Yikonis Levayis Acher, V'yikayim Shom Mitzvahs Biur, he shouldn't tamla chayvo, unless he's assuming that all of a sudden he was mafkir's chametz. I don't know. Maybe we can fill in the missing blanks here. But why would he be mafkir's? I mean, again, he's made an absolute decision. You know, you could have a scenario where he's not sure whether he's coming back to the house or not. So he might, you know, he might say, "Look, if I don't find another house, you know, there's nothing for rent in the neighborhood, so I'm going to go back to the original house." You know, that could be a possibility. And then he's not going to be mafkir's chametz because he wants to leave himself the option. But Lu Yitzui doesn't find another. But that does statement. You know, that's just pontificate. That's garbage. Pardon the expression. You know, we're not talking about any sort of ifs, ands, or buts over here, and any sort of ukimpas. He's just saying, where will he be mekayim the mitzvah of biur? He establishes that clearly before he leaves the house, he has a chiyuv bedika. That's because he owns the chametz. How does that get liquidated when he has another bias? So Rav Moshe, what I'd like to do now with your rishus, only because I have a lot to cover with you and the clock is my worst enemy, let's see if the Rav, Zichrono Livracha, can make any sense out of this Rav Yoh, out of this Mechaber, out of this Beis Yosef. And he says the following.
The page.
Now we're moving on to page Mem. Got it. Okay? Achabir hu poshut. That gets me nervous. You know, I get very nervous when I see the word poshut. You know, he's like, he's accusing me of being very dumb, you know, very dull, you know. To below svaras hatur, im haya chomitz nishar shel Yisrael, ukemo bestam mefarish v'yotzim shayora, hayotzim ibeso, velo nichlas shom odom, v'nishar abayis birshuso, v'zeb shita shigam laravyo, hu chayu bedika gabim yikonis labayis acher. So again, in a case of yotzim b'shayora, he is chayav in bedika. Why? No one else is coming into his house. No one else is taking over the house, the chametz remains in his house, and the fact that he has another bias, that doesn't exempt him. That's like the case of Asar Batim. And that for sure the Rav Yo understood. To sof sof, afsha mitzvah bedika mi'o yikayim, even though in the second house he will fulfill the mitzvah bedika, but nevertheless, that's only as far as the chovas haguf. The Chovas Gav, Aval Sof Sof, Chovas HaBayis, vis-a-vis the first Bayis, Mio Lo Kiyem. You know, you can say he gets brownie points for being Mekayim the Mitzvah Bir in his second house, but that doesn't undermine his Chiyuv vis-a-vis the first house, which has his Chametz in it. And that's the case of Yosef B'Shayor, where no one else is taking over the house. Aval B'Beiso Shel Akum, Dikones Bo Akum V'Yizke V'Chametz. Since he leaves his house, and what? And the goy is going to now take over the chametz.
It belongs to a goy, and it's going to be lived in by a goy.
Goy, and the Yisrael is already completely cutting himself off from the chametz in that bias, and that's what he calls the yizkev chametz. The goy will be zochin the chametz. Right. Now he says, "Im kein mitzad a bias, ein chovas bedika klal." Okay, good. So again, when a person's chametz is no longer his, the bias is no longer his, the chametz in the bias is now taken over by the goy, there's no chovas bias. Oh, but nevertheless, there is a chovas gavra, he calls it a chovas aguf. He says, kol chiyuv abdika, now we reduce the chiyuv abdika from 2 points to 2 dimensions, down to a single dimensional mitzvah. The whole thrust of the chiyuv abdika now becomes a chovas haguf. So again, let's understand. He's not saying that whether or not the Jew is mafka, the chometz will depend upon whether he moves into another house. That's ridiculous. So in both cases, we're going to have to answer the question, either he is mafka, the chometz, he leaves it behind, and the guy is zochin, the chometz, or he's not mafka, and he has intention to come back and claim his chometz. Right. So Rav Soloveitchik is assuming now that he has no intention of going back to reclaim his chometz. Oh. So he says the following. Since the bias now belongs to the guy, it always belonged to a guy, but now the chametz in the bias belongs to the guy because the Jew has no intention of coming back to that house. So the chametz now is bershuso shel guy and it's bebaluso shel guy. Yeah. Then at this point, there is no chovas bias. But what are we left with even after we neutralize the chovas bias? Because again, the moment before he left the house, and he owned the chametz, he wasn't mafkin, at that point he was chayiv in bedika. And now we're saying that when he leaves the house and the chametz now becomes the chametz of the guy, at that point there's no chovas bias. But what about his chiyuv? Is kol chiyuv bedika what was blyped, I think, is his chiyuv bedika b'toras chovas haguf. Oh, so the Rav Yo says, well, is he going into another bias? So again, there's one critical moment here, and that's the moment before he leaves the house. At that moment, the chametz is still his. At that moment, there's a chiyuv gavra and a chiyuv bias. Both of those chiyuvim emerge simultaneously. Comes along Rav Yo with a chiddush, and he says the following. Since he's planning to leave the house and not return to the house, and the chametz belongs, and the bias belongs to the goy, and now the goy, once he leaves the house, is going to take over the chametz, therefore, we no longer have a chovas bias. In other words, when he leaves the house, the bias is no longer connected to him. The only thing is that since there was a moment in time in which he was chayav in bedika before he left the bias, at that point he's chayav in beer. He has a chometz beer. Meaning, again, let's say I don't own any chometz in the world. Do I have to go out and buy chometz to do beer? No. But what we need is the following two conditions have to be met in order to be mechayav me in beer. I have to own a house, or at least live in a house. And number two, I have to bring my chametz into the house. If you have both A and B, it's my chametz in a place where I'm living, so there's a bias and there's chametz and the chametz is mine. At that point, within Shloshim Yom, I become chayev in bedika. What is the nature of that chiyuv bedika? So before I leave the house, it's a full-fledged chiyuv bedika. It has two dimensions to it. There's a chovas Bias and a chovas haguf. But once I leave the house, and now you want to tell me, well, you have to do bedika. So now you're going to tell me, well, I'm leaving the house behind. I will have no connection to the house. I'm leaving the chometz for the guy. Now the chovas bias is completely removed. It's evaporates.
Why?
Why? Because it's not my bias. It's not my chametz. I don't have chametz in my rishus. The chametz belongs to the guy.
Yeah, you got one foot on the floor there still. On the floor of the apartment. You're not out. If everybody holds, if you're out already, then you're out.
So this is the Rav Yoh's Gevaldik Chiddush. Rav Yoh wants to say that you can go out of the house, leave the house behind for the guy, and you don't have to worry about the chometz bedika. But you already were chayv in bedika. It's not like a case of someone who doesn't own any chometz. You owned chometz. So at that moment, the Tokshol Shavyon became chayv in bedika. Right. But that chayv in bedika can be reduced, and we can take one dimension of that bedika and completely neutralize. That's the dimension of chometz bias. And you have the ability to leave this house behind with no intention of returning, and let the guy be zochen the chometz and remove the chometz bias, but you cannot remove the chometz gavra. That remains. Let's just see the next paragraph. He says, "Ulam." The Gemara says, "I'm a farish vayotze b'shayora." Mashma, the benichnas lebayis acher potu legamre.
First one.
Now this is going to completely undermine everything that we said. The Rav Yoh is based on a diuk that he's out there in the shayora. What's a shayora? He's on a horse. He's on a camel. He's on a boat. He's on a shayora. Implying that he's not entering into another bias. That's how the Rav Yoh learns this. And the Rav Yoh is saying that if he goes into another bias, then he's potter. So the whole difference between Mefarish V'yotze B'Shayara, according to the Bach and the Groh in the Rav Yoh, and our case that we're dealing with, is whether or not he's going into another bias. Mefarish V'yotze B'Shayara means he's in the Shayara. Comes along the Rav Yoh and says, but if he would be in a bias, in a second bias, then he's potter. You don't apply the principle of Chiyuv Bedik of Shloshim Yom.
Because he's not coming back to the first one.
No! We're talking about Yosef Shayora. Do you understand, Yosef, what happened here? The Bach and the Groh have literally pulled the wool over our eyes. There's a whole other story in the Rav Yoh. We thought the Rav Yoh was telling us a Gansa story about a Jew who lives in a Goyish house, and he's leaving the house on a permanent basis, etc., etc. No! The Rav Yoh was talking about a case of Mefarsh V'Yosef Shayora. On that very case of a person who intends to come back to his house, does he have to do a bedika or not? The answer is, said Rav Yoh, if he's Yosef B'Shayara, he doesn't have to do a bedika. But if it's Yosef Labayis, then he's potter for bedika. Did I say that right? I messed up. When do we say that Yosef Shayara is chayav in bedika? That's because he was Yosef L'Shayara. But if it's Yosef Labayis Acher, then he's not chayav in bedika. Why not? The whole story of Beiso Shalakum, the way the diuk of the Rav Yoh in the Gemara is irrelevant, is inappropriate, inapplicable. El Yotzimi Bayis Shalom. That's the case of Yotzim Shayor. He's leaving his own house. Muchach Behejit. The Gam Yotzimi Beiso Shal Yisrael. Patur, if he's going to another bayis. He's only chai because he's going to a Shayor. Ubeemes kein medukta peloshen harav yoh shekos v'ani mili mefarish yotzim shayora harei darav yoh hotzi es dino miguf asugya v'hadri kushel edukta. Now we're back to square one again. We're as perplexed as we were when we started this sugya. Mehechi teisa sheyiftar benichnas levayis acher. Why should we potter? This is a classical case of yotzim shayora. Narvaz, he's not in a shayora, he's in another bayis. So what? Why does that exempt him from bedikah on his first bias, and it remains his bias, and he intends to come back to it?
Then we're dealing with chametz shavuot Pesach. That we're concerned that when he comes back, he's going to be in a pickle.
Okay, maybe. Maybe we're even more concerned that he might come back in the middle of Yom Tov, and he'll come to eat.
That's a possibility.
Now, I'm going to skip for a moment this paragraph. I want to get to the paragraph Al-Kain. Al-Kain, Nira Lomer, Bibir, Divya, Rav Yoh, Deinim, Be'emes, Mefarish, V'yotze, V'shayorah, Be'ein, Dai, Tolach, So, Menedin, Ayah, Potter, Mivdik. The man is not coming back to his house on Pesach. He's not going to live in this house together with his chametz on Pesach. He should be part. That's ein daito laksa. In fact, according to Abaye, we don't pass like Abaye, Rava rejects it. That's Abaye Shita, that Yotze B'Sheor is potter from Bedik. It's only a case of daito laksa. Omishum, now this is a little bit difficult. He offers two possibilities as to why he should be potter from Medika. I would say the Rav is working out all the possibilities as to why you would have to do Medika. One is because you own the Chametz. He says, well, that he can certainly solve anywhere on the face of the earth. He'll do Bittul. Oh, but now you want to say maybe Chacham want you to get rid of your chametz because he might come to eat the chametz. Well, there's no chashash that he'll come to eat the chametz because he has no intention of being there during the course of Pesach. But oh, mishum dekevin shein chametz b'shus of the Pesach hareyu kimavur keu kechametz enough love of Apollos. Maybe that's what you meant, Al, before. Oh, so Ella, so why is he chayav in bedik in the case of Yotzi b'shayara? To be kevin shechal al abay schovas bedika toch shloshim yom lo hifkiu mi menu chovas bedika. Right, this is similar to a svar that we once said in Maskir v'socher, that since in the night of Yudalit he's chayav, therefore the Tosfos says sulo paka, his chayav bedika will not be paka. So in other words, again, there's no logical reason. Just in Balabatish Svara, there's no justification for being Machayev in Bedik. He's not going to be in the house. He does his Bithel. There's no Chametz Pershuso because it's not his. He's not going to come to eat the Chametz. He's not going to be there with the Chametz. But there's a different din. And that din is Chovas Bedika. Once you enter into a certain time zone, you become Chayav in Bedika. Yeah. And that Chayav Bedika remains as a Chayav Bedika.
That's personally, not housely.
Oh, so maybe, Sam, you're ahead of me. Let me catch up to you. Me'ata Nira Lomar, the Svile Laravio, the Chol Ze, im Abayis Choshev Kibeso Belel Yudal. Tahainu Kigon, Shebelel Yudal. Just one second. It's just one second. I want to read this again. The chol zem abayis. When is he chayav bedika shloshim yom and sulo paka when he leaves the house? That's only because this bias is considered beso belel yudalit. I think he's going back to that svar of anticipation. I'm not sure. I don't know. Haynu kagon shebelel yudalit hu mefarish o yotze b'shayara v'eino kavua b'bayis acher. The ad the alkane by his ze choshiv kibeso afshe eno nimtzabo.
Right.
Just one second. I'm sorry. I apologize here. To go to the leil yudalid umefreshes v'shayora and eno kavua b'bayis acher. The alkane, since he's not kavua in another bayis. Oh, he's clearing here what's considered beso, right? The chiyuv of bedika once it's chal is not paka. So we have to have a chiyuv bedika, but one of the conditions for a chiyuv bedika is beso. Oh, so it's a yotze b'shayara, it still remains beso. It still remains beso. Why? Because he's coming back to his original house. He may return in a month from now, or in a year from now, but he's coming back to his house. It remains beso, and therefore we can continue and extend that chiyuv that was chal, shloshim yom chodim l'chag. And we're not going to be mafkir that chiyuv even when he leaves his house, even though there's no logical reason to be machayev in bedika, but nevertheless he became chayev. But that's only conditional on the fact that it's beso. However, just one second. Avol, oh, here it is. Let's underline the word avol. Avol im hu kvar kova atzmo bebayis acher. I don't know what the word. What's kvar mean? What do you mean kvar? When is he koveya by sacher? He was koveya. I'm not sure exactly what he means. Exactly when he was koveya by sacher. Shuv ena by sarishon choshiv kibeso klal. Even though again he's intended to come back to the spice. Velovak she ain lo et sibos lebedika kanal. Right, because he did everything else. Elogam habayis atzmo eno choshiv od kebeso leinyan bedikas chametz dalkenu potalei l'ravya michovas bedik. Wow, it's
It's very creative, but I don't understand it yet. I'm on the way. Give me a minute. Saying the following: that once you're chayav b'dika, you remain chayav b'dika. But that's only because when it comes to yudalid, he'll have deso. Right. Well, let's go back to Socher Maskil. Let's say if it's shloshim yom, but I'm going to rent out the house. So he said that if the rental is before yudalid, then he's potter from bedika. So it means that the chiyuv of shloshim yom is based on the yudalid. Now, what happens if come yudalid, I will not be in the house? Well, what do you mean you're not going to be in the house? It's still beso. It's still beso. Oh, but what happens if I won't be in the house in a way that I could be mafkia the shame beso? So you're going to anticipate now in Shloshim Yom a chiv that's going to emerge at the end of this period of time at Yudalid, because then I'm going to be chayv. Well, I'm only going to be chayv if it's beso. But if I have another bias, then for the period of chametz, of Pesach, it's not beso anymore. Do you follow? He's saying
if
that
it's shayor, it is.
Oh, that's what he's saying. You're guilty until proven innocent. What do I mean? We'll call it a chazaka, so to speak. The status of this house as beso will continue endlessly until you establish another bias. So here's the difference and the diuk of the Rav Yom. When is he chayav b'dika when he leaves the house? Tov shloshim yom. That's only because he's yotzei l'shayara. What does shayara mean? He won't be there on Yudalid, and therefore you might think it's not beso. No. Since it's a shayara, it still remains beso. Do you follow? The status of the beso is entrenched. You understand what I mean?
His relationship to the house.
Wait a minute. Let me just explain what I'm trying to say here. It's entrenched. What does that mean? It's got deep roots. It's like a wisdom tooth before you pull it, right? So it's deeply rooted in your status as beso. Memela, if you're leaving shloshim yom, I'm going to anticipate the fact that this will be beso on yudalit. And where are you going now? You're going to a shayara. If you're going to a shayara, then the status of beso continues. It's guilty until proven innocent. You want to be mafkir the shame beso, set up another bias. If you set up another bias, then it's no longer beso. So if I know that in Yudalit he's going to be in a different bias, then you ask me, where is his beso as far as bedika? It's the new bias. But if, on the other hand, he doesn't establish another bias, then the fact that he's physically absent from the bias, that's called Yotze Mishayara, then we can anticipate already at the beginning of the Shloshim Yom that it'll still be Beso, and even though, again, there's no logical reason to be Machayev in Bedika, but nevertheless, he was Chayev in Bedika because we already anticipate at the beginning of Shloshim Yom the Chayev Bedika that's going to emerge at the end of the Shloshim Yom. But if before the Shloshim Yom he's checking out and he's going to establish another bias, he's not just Yosef Shiora, says to Rav Yoh, guess what? He can now be Mafkir the Shem bias. So that means with the emergence of Yudalit, this is no longer Beso. Why? Because he has another bias. Yes, Sam?
It's discriminatory against homeless people. No, I'm serious. What you're saying is that we assume you must have a house. I don't have a house. Only if I have another house.
You don't recognize that.
What do you mean you don't have a house? You're not homeless. You have a house.
No, I'm leaving. I'm out of here.
What do you mean you're on a caravan? You're riding a camel. Right. What do you mean you're out of here? You're out of here.
I'm as much out of here as if I'd buy another house.
Correct. That's true. You know, the extent of your vacation from the bias, you're right, is the same. And therefore, in logical terms, there's no reason to be machalik between the two. But the only question is that sometimes halacha works in a different way. It works with gedarim. And what is the gedar that he wants to say? The gedar is that lo pakachiyuv. Remember, we saw it in Tosfos. Tosfos says that that if the maskir is intending to leave the house and enter into a schiras adil, but he has the keys with leil yudalit, is sulo pakachiyuv. That's also the Tosfos. Then he wants to say the following. There's a way of being mafkia, the shame bias, and therefore the chiyuv. The Rabbanon, when they instituted this chiyuv, they said it's conditional on the fact that you have beso. If you're going back to that bias, it's still beso. That's what I call guilty until proven innocent. The status quo remains. This is beso, and yet you remain chayv and bedika. Comes along Rav Yod, he says, that's only beyotzei shayara.
Because Yotze B'Sheyor, you don't have another bias. But if you have another bias, it's not based on the again, I'm not saying, look, understand, Rebbe. The Rebbe is not saying that he would have advocated afraid of the Rav Yoh. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that I think the Rav Yoh is intuitively correct. What he's saying is, let's try to make some sense out of the Rav Yoh. So again, there are two ways of making sense out of this Rav Yoh. One is before the Bach, and the other is after the Bach. Before the Bach, we're going to say that we're talking about a case of Chometz of Yisrael who's living in whose bias? Bias of a guy. He checks out of the house and he allows the guy to take over the Chometz. So now it becomes Chometz shall Yisrael guy versus a guy. Therefore, there's no Chiyuv Beisa. Just there's a problem here because of the Chometz Gavra. Let him be Makayim that Chometz Gavra in another bias. Now, if he has no other bias, so then we're going to say the following, that right at this moment in time, it still technically is your chometz. You haven't checked out of the bias. We're going to apply the principle of yotze b'shayora, and now you have a chometz b'dika. But if you check out and you reestablish yourself in another bias, so the moment you check out of the house, you're mafkir the chometz, so to speak, for the guy. The guy is zochin the chometz. There's no chiv kapi the bias. You end up with a chiv kapi the guf, and that you're fulfilling another bias. That was before the Bach. Comes along the Bach, and he says, Nein, that's not what the Rav Yoh is talking about. The Rav Yoh is talking about a Yotze B'Shayora. But the Rav Yoh wants to know, where is he going to be during Pesach? Where is he living during Pesach? Is he on a caravan? Is he on a boat? Or is it a bias? I mean, you could hear Dr. Seuss would have a blast with this sugya, right? Is he on a boat? Is he in a house? Where are you eating it? You know, would you eat it in a house? Would you eat it in a boat?
So what if he owned another house, a house before he left?
Interesting question. That's a good question. What if he owns another house, but he's not living in another house? I have a suspicion here, we'd have to read the text again, that as far as Vedika is concerned, we're not talking about theoretical ownership in a legal kosher mishpat. We're talking about where are you spending Pesach? Do you have a bias that you can call your own during Pesach, and you're living in that bias? If you're living in the bias, now we can be okay the shame bias from your first bias, and we can be mechel the shame bias on the second bias.
But
I had prepared an entire shiur and I saved it today. I even asked Sam for photocopy pages. So Belin Eder tomorrow we're starting with a saver. Okay, that's where I want to start.
Good.
All right. This is a difficult sugya. Rabbi said, look, you know, certain things are easy, certain things are hard. This is not one of the easy ones. But it's a Rav Yoh, you know, now Rav Lichtenstein's in Karlovok used to find Rav Yoh as left, right, and center, but here's Rav Yoh that's quoted by the tour and codified and these kinds of situations can arise. You know, you can have a person who lives in a house and it's owned by a guy. He brings his chametz in the whole year round. Now he's packing out. He's finished with his term of stay in that house. Is he chayav in b'dika? Is he not chayav in b'dika? Shulchan Aruch says it depends. If he doesn't have another bias, then before he checks out, he's got to do a b'dika. Fascinating. So this Rav Yoh is not just theory. It's not something conceptual. All right, I see they're already up to Yeshmei Rabba.